Hello and welcome to This Week in Testing. My name is Ben Doan, also known as the Full Snack Tester, and I've co-hosted a few of these This Week in Testings before, but it feels like it's been a while. It's been a good few weeks, so it's very exciting to be back. Let's get on with the housekeeping. So this is a Ministry of Testing event, so the code of conduct applies. A little bit later on, we'll be inviting people to get up on stage and join in the conversation. And at that point, please be aware of the code of conduct. This Week in Testing is also recorded and released as a podcast as soon as we possibly can after the show is live on air. So welcome to any listeners on the podcast. This week, I am joined by the fantastic co-host, Judy. Judy, do you want to quickly introduce yourself?
Yes. My name is Judy, and I'm a QA engineer at Texas. And this is my second time co-hosting. And I do not have a nickname, or I don't know what it, like when you say full snack tester, is that your nickname or is that like your superpower? Like, how do you qualify it?
Love that. Yeah, I guess it's like some personal branding.
Okay, personal branding. I need to work on my personal branding. Oh, which I do write a blog. It's called Failure is Feedback. And it's mainly for my own sanity. But that'll be my branding plug for now.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, it's very cool. I've read a few of the things on there, Judy. You're doing good work. Keep up with the blog.
Thank you.
So me and Judy are going to have a little bit of a chat in just a moment. Before that, I'm going to tell you a few things about Ministry of Testing and upcoming events. So it is September and we have a whole bunch of meetups in September. If you go along to ministryoftesting.com and have a look either on the homepage or on the events page, whoa, we have a lot of meetups in September. So we have meetups in the Netherlands, in Milan, in London, in Barcelona, in Munich. The list goes on. That isn't even all of them. Later on in the month, we have meetups in Leeds and more. So do check out the Ministry of Testing website for the full list. Keep an eye out and do follow Gary Shannon if you're interested in the London meetup or you are signed up for that. Just a note that he posted this morning that there is some London-based Transport for London potential strikes or industrial action next week. So there is some follow, watch this space to see whether things are still going on. I think he's going to evaluate things on Monday and see where things are at, and he will make an announcement. But all that information is all on the events page. Other events coming up. I never miss an opportunity to promote this week. Sorry, Software Testing Live. It's been a little while since we've had an episode. And the fantastic is going to be, sorry, Natalia Brumi is going to be joining me on the 18th of September for What's in the Box. So we're going to be talking a little bit about black box testing and some related techniques. And we're going to be doing hopefully some live in the box or out the box testing. Come join us for Software Testing Live. If you've never been to one of those, it is a opportunity for us to practice software testing and the art of software testing live on stage. So do come along for that. And of course, it would be remiss of me not to quickly mention Leading with Quality, which is the one-day event for leaders in quality and engineering and testing. That will be in Brighton the day before Test Bash, and tickets are selling fast. So if you are interested in coming to Leading with Quality, go and buy your ticket immediately. Otherwise, you risk missing out, which would be a shame. And then, of course, Test Bash in Brighton at the beginning of the month. Looking forward to Test Bash. So that is my list of brief upcoming events. So now I get to ask, Judy, how was your week in testing?
Yeah, my week in testing has been good. One thing, hold on just a second. Sorry, I haven't had my coffee yet. My voice is protesting. But yeah, one thing that I have worked with for a really long time, because I'm the only QA engineer at my work, and so I... not only am I responsible for all the things QA, but I feel like getting people to talk about quality, like encouraging conversations around quality and just make it a normal topic, not just for me, but from other people. And the one of the things that I have, so I, since it's only me, I have my own QA Slack channel and I'll post status updates and things like that. And I've started trying to like make it fun for the team to read. And so one thing that I've been doing is I'll announce what the weather is here because we work remote and kind of nice to know how weather is affecting people. And then I'll announce, like, there's a website called Today Is, and it has a list of random holidays that people are, there's the normal Christmas, Thanksgiving, American type things. But then there's just really weird stuff that pops up. And one day, if you have, like, eat crackers over your keyboard day, or just, I'm sure they're making this up, like this can't be like an actual national holiday. But I put in the status update, I said, I don't like crackers, actually. But if you could tell me, which I'm, now that I'm thinking about it, this is an international audience. So crackers in America may be different from where you are. Someone will have to clear me on that. But yeah, I basically asked, what are your favorite crackers? And the developers started talking about, like, there was a whole thing about crackers. And I sent the conversation to my boss. And I was like, see, they're finally talking in the QA channel. But yeah, that it's like a tiny win. I know that they've read my post by including something fun in it. But I would love to know, like, how people encourage quality conversations in their organizations, because I work really hard at it. And I'm just curious if other people face the same thing.
Oh, I love that so much. And do you know what? It reminds me of InfoSec team that I used to work with in a company I was with previously, who they did a weekly, or maybe it was a monthly newsletter. And they always included both a number of memes and like GIFs and fun things throughout the newsletter, and like some clickbait headlines and stuff. But also, like, at the very end of the newsletter, they'd always include some kind of Easter egg for thanks for reading all the way to the end. There'd always be something. So yeah, there's that thank you for reading to the end, here's some kind of bonus for you, is a cool technique I have seen used before. So I love that. I would also pose to you this. So I love the chat about snacks, by the way. Don't let me get too distracted. I posit to you that the idea of this like National Cracker Eating Day, you were saying that it's made up. And I was going to go one step further and say, Judy, all days of the year are made up.
That's true. That's true. It's stories we're telling ourselves, really.
So if it's celebrated, it exists. It's real. So exactly. As soon as you do it, it exists.
So that means just saying. Yeah, I can make whatever holiday I want, like, at this point.
You absolutely can. Although for bonus points, as long as you put it on Wikipedia, and then when other people look it up, they'll know it's real, right?
Right, I'm writing in text for myself right now. So
yeah.
Yeah. So.
Love that.
But yeah, I see a lot in the chat about being single testers. And yeah, apparently I'm not the only one that faces that. Well, and you're like, you just started your new job and you're not the only tester, right?
That's right. So I am now about 3 months in, although I still feel a bit of a newbie because I spent a good 3 weeks of that 3 months on holiday, which love that, which was cool. And yeah, the same day as me, another quality engineer started as well. So there are two of us. So it's not just me. But we're doing quite different things in quite different parts of the company. So the company I started with is called Mimica Automation. And we're working with quite different teams and kind of scopes. So it still feels in many ways a bit like being a sole quality engineer or a sole tester. So it is quite relatable for sure. and to give you an idea of, I really do feel that sometimes the standing up and waving my hands and then not having people coming to me. I did a bit of a, here's an open exploratory testing session earlier in the week. And the one other person who came was the other quality engineer. And while it was a super cool session with the two of us, I need to figure out better ways to target and incentivize getting the developers and other people interested in doing some exploratory testing without. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes. It's fun. And a few people showed an interest, but weren't able to set up that time. So I think if I make it more of a regular thing and I try and, I've got a few ideas. I don't want to make it all about me, but relate.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I will say the only other thing for me for my weekend testing is that I saw a great post by Chris Corbis, which I'm happy to post it in the chat. But she talked about leading with ALP instead of ASAP. So instead of doing something as soon as possible, doing something as lazy as possible. And I really loved, I'll look at the post myself, but her points were, so the A is accept your natural rhythms, leverage your existing lazy habits. And she suggests automate what drains you and align actions with energy, not arbitrary schedules, and then progressively build on what's already working. And so I resonated absolutely with accepting your natural rhythms, because I'm not an early bird. Like I grew up in a home of early birds and it wasn't fun. I do better when I wake up past a specific time. But I love the idea of leveraging your existing lazy habits, which she suggests automate what drains you. So I thought maybe that's where AI would be a good fit for me. If there are things that I can let the robot do instead of me.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I love the post and I would love to know how we could add this into QA, because I think that would just be amazing.
That's cool. So I think we've got three very cool things that we've started talking about already. I think we're talking about how to have quality conversations and get teams and engineers interested in talking about quality. We've got the pain or the joy of being a solo tester or being one of very few in an organization. And we've got the topic of being as lazy as possible and automating the things that drain us. I think those are three very cool things already. Yeah. Doing a quick time check, what I'd like to do is encourage people in the audience to put your hand up. So the way that this works, for those of you who are new, and a reminder for those of you who aren't, you should be able to raise your hand. Thank you very much for putting the instructions up on there. So yeah, you should be able to raise your hand and then we can accept you and invite you onto the stage. If you're using mobile and you don't have a way to raise your hand, then if you mention in the chat, then we should be able to invite you and you should be able to accept that invite and come and join us on stage. For the best experience, using a laptop and a headset works great, but if not, then it is possible in other ways. You can keep your camera off because this is an audio only event and that keeps things chill. So yeah, please start putting your hand up now, and you're welcome to talk about either any of the topics that we've raised so far, or you're welcome to introduce something entirely new and tell us a bit about your week in testing.
Ben, how was your week in testing? I don't want to miss that either.
Oh, thank you very much, Judy. So yeah, no, I've had an interesting week. Like I say, I've done a lot of arriving back after having a few weeks off. So I've been doing things like breaking down more tasks that are going to go into quarterly planning, which I know is thrilling, but it's all about those quality conversations happening via task management systems and seeing how we can move things forward that way. I came back to one of the things that I'd done just before I left, having been a little bit broken. So for example, so I'd set up just before I left a system to be able to see code coverage in pull request reviews. So there was something I was leveraging to do code coverage, basically being added as a comment in a PR, like in GitHub. And I wanted to check how that was going, and I was right to check, because having been off for 3 weeks, in my absence, it had broken. So the first thing I did was fix that. So it had only been working a few days before I left, and it was already broken by the time I got back. So that was my first task. But that was interesting. So yeah, fixed up a few things. And yeah, one of the cool things which came from this pairing session with my fellow QE is we're potentially looking at doing a little bit of desktop automation. So I've done a lot of web automation. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of API automation, and I've done a little bit of Windows-based automation, although very little. But this would actually be Mac desktop automation, which I've never done before. So if anyone has ever done automating desktop applications on the Mac and wants to come up on stage and have a chat, or wants to reach out to me afterwards, I made a little post on the club and on the MOT Slack asking if there's anyone out there who's given this a go, because there are a few frameworks out there, but yeah, it's new to me, so that's going to be super interesting. Let me have a quick look in the chat, because I haven't seen anyone put their hands up yet. Yudit says, reminder of the topic. Oh yeah, so solo QA conversations about quality, and what was the other topic? Doing things as lazy as possible. So automating the things that drain us. But you're also welcome to bring any topic you like. And I think we have one hand up, but I need to find out who it is, because I'm struggling to find them. Let me see. Aha. Let's try. Okay, I'm not sure that worked. Okay, so if anyone... Aha, here we go.
Yeah. Hey.
Natalia.
Yes.
Welcome to This Week in Testing. We can hear you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm just testing because I'm on mobile and it's the first time. And I think, you know, what's happening. I think I allow camera to be picked up, but I'm holding it with my thumb because I don't know how to switch it back, like, off right away. That's why you might see like a red glare anyway. It's all good.
That's perfect. Yeah.
But good. Yeah. Thank you for having me on stage. It's been a long time. I was a little bit off, but very nice to be back and talking to everyone. Nice topics. I think I can maybe speak about solo QA, but maybe from a different perspective, not like a pure solo, but more. I'm possibly in a similar situation like you, Ben. I have a fellow QE, but we do different roles. Like my role is more strategic and long term, and also building the quality and mindset, and as well shifting things throughout, spreading throughout the process, right? And encouraging devs to be casting more, talking a bit more, as well as product managing everyone in the organization, right? So it's not like QAs, it's a list of checkboxes of things like signing off this build, which is still here, those commands like signing off tickets and those kind of areas that I do. And while my fellow QA is a bit more day-to-day task and more like a doer and more executing what we align and agree to do that. Although it's not like pure solo, but I feel sometimes I'm a solo, particularly like my leadership is now like moving to another organization. So I feel sometimes solo in this space. It's hard because you have to juggle and you have to wear different hats, like engagement, like people mentioned, right? Gary mentioned it. Every developer or person, professional, engages in different ways. Absolutely relate to that. It's hard. Like you need to find a path to everyone's work dynamic, what's priority for them at this minute, whether they're in the same context or in a different context. The same as Callum mentioned, that you have to mention 6 times the same thing to people. Sometimes I think it's even more
and six times. Feels like you repeat yourself a lot, but actually it doesn't always land to all people at the same time, right? So those moments comes in different ways and shapes. So you have to constantly be cautious and like consistent in your communication, right? So it's a lot of things. And as well as like day to day, be helpful to teams and engage them. So it's a lot of things which, on my understand, being solo QA also brings this part as well, right? So you have your day to day delivery, which is priority. And you've got as well things that you'd like to hand off to AI or do differently or engage developers, right? So you work on more strategic level, things that slows you down, you're thinking how to maybe automate or outsource to tools or think about earlier. So lots of things like that. And it has like positives and more like the feedback, the role that you do more on a strategic level, you get later, right? So it's not the same as day to day. You might get, or you've tested something and Teams is happy, you can move with deliveries and other tickets, right? So the feedback is more instant on a strategic level. Your feedback comes like half a year later, or the work that you do will show up half a year later. And then a different mindset and different kind of encouragement and engagement and things like that. But yeah, so my week was very short because I was only 2 days. Like, it's a lot of changes were in organization. So not much from testing perspective, but I'm like curating this big plan that I have of migrating whole application on infrastructure level. And that's what my thinking goes in. Right, so quite a lot. But no, been good. Look forward to many more exciting dates and some of them challenging, some of them more easier. Mix of everything as always.
My goodness, for a short week, you've sure got a lot going on. Some really great points there. I love what you're saying about the difference between the day-to-day delivery and the very fast feedback things like, oh yeah, I tried it, it's broken, versus the very long multi-month feedback of, okay, I'm putting in this work at the strategic level and I won't really see the benefit from it probably until sometimes 6 months later. And I think that's something that you're saying, like Callum's been mentioning in the chat as well, that you've got to keep saying things and it comes back later. So I just want to read out a couple of comments in the chat, and then Judith has put their hand up, so I will invite them to the stage in a moment. So Rish was saying, asking the question, if we're the only dedicated quality people in our companies, or we're the only one doing any testing. And there's a few other people jumping in talking about being a solo tester in their org. So Nadja says, in my org, a lot of people do testing, but we only have two specialists and one isn't working as a tester. Rish was saying, as the only dedicated quality person in a group for 20 plus, so I guess that's 20 plus people, I did less testing than when each team had a tester. That's relatable. Calm says, I'm the only testing specialist in my org, but I'm certainly not the only person who does testing. I coach and train everyone else to pick up the testing. And Judith, rather than read out your statement, let's get you up on stage. Let's try that. Welcome to Sweet Testing. Loud and clear.
Well, so I wanted to share a different type of being a solo tester. It's not something that I do now. It's from my previous years. So I was a tester, not really a tester. I was a QA lead, the first one and the only one in a 50 people company, a startup. But the methodology of the company was testing without testers. That means that there were no testers and the developers were testing their own things, including end-to-end testing, integration, automation, anything. And when I came to the company, I thought that they are using some very outdated tools like Google Spreadsheet for doing the testing executions and documenting them. And it was like really copy-paste some kind of spreadsheet template to a new one, give it a name, give it a version, fill some details, then you execute the test. And they were working in a pairwise. So if one engineer wrote the test to be scoped, the other one will run them. In that way, they were testing each other's code and not necessarily each one testing his own. So my role was to observe the situation and to improve the processes, give them guidance on how to do it. So one of the first things I did is to change the tooling that we use to define some processes, follow up. So in that scenario, then you have a lot of talking about quality because you are going to do it with them, with the developers. And you need them to be on board because they are going to be doing those processes that you defined. So it gives you the possibility to do a lot of cooperation, communication, and quality as a topic to be spoken of all the time. Also, we were doing some things that we called the QA parties. We were handing over a lot of mobiles to everyone in the company, from the managers, the marketing people, regulatory affairs, legal, everyone. And we just gather in the open space and everyone gets the app with the same version and they just try to do flows and try to break it up to find some bugs. So that was also a way of having the quality to be the top, because everyone have to do it. Like, it's not an optional thing in the company. So this was also interesting way of integrating quality in a company. And also using crowd testing services. Yes. Having the developers involved in this process and having it to be a topic that you can speak about and don't feel like it's something that only QA testers related, but like everyone can speak quality. So that was an interesting experience.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Judy.
Oh, I was just going to say, I love that. I actually, where I am now, I came on into a similar situation. And yeah, like what you mentioned, where it's like, first you observe. Once you join an organization, that is the best time to observe the pain points, to observe like what tools people are using, how it doesn't help them. Like sometimes I'm not saying this to be mean, but if you can see what causes pain and then you bring things better, people are so much more quickly to adopt it because it just relieves whatever pain point they've been feeling. So, and I love the QA parties. Like I've written that down, booked it note. I'm going to stew on that. But yeah, I love all that.
It was not my idea. I just observed.
Then you had some thoughts.
I was just going to thank you for sharing. I think those are very interesting to hear that other side of things, that kind of more observational side of things. It actually sounds very much like the intention with some of the quality engineering stuff, right? Like being there to push, supporting the developers and the teams to improve their processes and to level up their testing rather than going in and replacing them to do the testing for them. I think in one respect, that's living the quality engineer dream. Although I must admit, I do like to also get hands-on and do a bit of testing. So I think I'd struggle if I was doing no testing at all. I think I need to learn that.
I was doing testing.
Oh, good. Thank goodness for that.
I was signing off, like, after they tested, I was the sign-off. So I was running the end-to-end test at the end.
Okay, okay. So you were still getting to get your hands on, so that's cool. But it sounds like there was a lot more testing going on before you got to see things. So I love to see that. I love to see the developers taking responsibility for testing things as they go along. It's very cool.
I think it was their culture that the VP R&D decided that it should be like that. But I have to say, it didn't, when the company scaled, like 4x scale, it stopped because it was already not possible to keep going. So we recruited him. You're right.
And that's actually always the way I try and describe it. When people often ask me the question, like Ben, should we have testers at our startup? Should we have testers or not? And I say, well, it depends entirely on your scale and how much you've got to invest and what problem you're trying to solve by introducing mm-hmm. the testers. I think it's a big challenge because sometimes by introducing more testers, you exactly have that problem where you end up replacing the culture of the developers doing the testing themselves. And
yeah,
that's a shame because actually the developers taking responsibility for the things that they're building is a really important part of that kind of quality engineering dream. Well, thank mm-hmm. you very much for joining the stage, Nathalia, and you did. Please feel free to stay on the stage as we continue the conversation. I'm going to throw it out there again to encourage people to put their hands up if you want to join in the conversation. Feel free to join in the topics that we have already spoken about or to bring your own week in testing, ask a new question, tell us about something that you've got going on. The floor is yours. While we wait for anyone else to put their hand up, Judy, Judith, is there anything more you wanted to add on any of our current topics or if you wanted to ask the audience some questions?
Well, I would like to circle back, I think, to just the idea of automating, going back to the ALAP, or I think it was Miriam said ASAP, which was like as slowly as possible. But yeah, I do call myself a little bit of an AI curmudgeon. Like I love Clippy from Microsoft, but that's how far, other than Wally and Clippy, those are the only robots I really want in my life. But I would love to know, like, if anyone is using AI to automate any task that they hate, or maybe not hate, hate's a strong word, but maybe just they're not fans of, or if you're just playing with AI in general and you have found it useful in ways that are unexpected, that would be cool too.
Absolutely. So I've not been using AI much yet to do all of an automation task for me. But what I have started to doing, which is quite interesting, is as I've been doing automation or I've been reviewing tests or looking at historical unit tests, for example, I've been using AI as a bit of a code review tool to say, hey, have a look at this unit test. Tell me where we went wrong. Tell me how we could improve it, right? So actually improving the quality of existing unit tests by asking, in this case, it was through Cursor and Claude, but the many other options exist. And I found that very interesting because I chose an example and I'd already taken a look through and decided there were some things that I didn't like about the unit test. And it found the same things that I did and a few ones I'd missed as well. And I really liked getting that feedback on the code quality from the AI. So it wasn't automating anything for me apart from it was like bolstering the review. And we've been playing with a few different tools to do PR reviews, contribute to PR reviews and give us suggestions, which has been quite interesting because it does some very While there is a massive problem with bias in AI for many reasons, that automation also has the opportunity to be slightly less biased because it only does what you tell it. So it does things like it tells you what it thinks the purpose of your code change is. And sometimes it's really interesting when you go in and it starts telling you the thing that you've done and you're like, ah, I probably shouldn't have put that in this PR. That was actually should have been part of something else, right? I can split that out. If it starts listing a whole load of stuff you did that you didn't really need to do in the same with this change, maybe it scope creeped a bit. It's like they can really call you out for that kind of stuff. I'm like, that's cool.
I'm so guilty. Like I don't know if it's good or bad. No one's complained about it, but it's all typically the task is, oh, I've added some automated test, but then I'll, in my PR, I'll put a GIF emoji and I'm like, oh, and I like automated these three other ones. And so it doesn't, I guess I don't put it as scope creep. I add it as, oh, this is a nice little surprise and you will probably be happy about it. Yeah, I'm so guilty of scope creep, like all the time.
I think there's like this like Good Samaritan rule. I guess it used to be called the Boy Scout rule, but I guess that's a bit gender biased, so it should be a way of making that more gender neutral. I just can't think of the word off the top of my head. But like a Scout's rule, which is leave things better than you found them, which I think that's a good thing. It's a good strategy for making things a little bit nicer as you go. But I do think that purely for pull requests, it's really important to try and make them as small as possible so that anyone reviewing it has a chance of understanding and giving some kind of reasonable feedback. I'm guilty of it as well, and I'm trying very hard to reform. But like the less you can do in one piece of work, the easier it is for someone else to come and say, yes, that's very reasonable. Or hang on a minute, you've missed this. But like, as soon as you get above 3 or 4 files and 10 or 20 lines of code, it becomes so difficult for someone to get that context in their head enough to know whether the thing you've done is right. Having said that, sometimes a one line, one value code change can be equally as baffling if all you did is went and changed the magic number, but you still haven't left a comment as why.
No. Yeah. Basically, that's when I'm throwing spaghetti at the wall, but I don't want to put that in the PR. So,
absolutely.
I will say, so people are saying some things in the chat. AD said that I've built an authoring assistant in Google AI Studio to help me think out ideas and formats. It can be a great help or a waste of time, depending. I would be curious about what the waste of time example would be, because I love it when things go haywire a little bit. Demi says that we have an AI team that is developing AI tools. I hope I said that correctly. They also accept suggestions. So I want them, I want them to explain the statistics I need so that, I'm sorry, I'm having trouble reading a little bit. But yeah, they can put that in the toolbox that they're making. So that's awesome.
Nice. And Natalia was saying the paradox of PR reviews is that there are many comments for one line and they all just look good to me if it's 20 file change. Yeah, and that's exactly the problem, right? That's the symptom of, if you do a big PR, then there's no way people are reviewing it with any kind of rigor. Maybe they'll review the first top file. So one tip I got the other day was, if you have a large PR you can't split up, tell your reviewers which bit they should focus on, which is the bit you're actually worried about. And I'll say, hey, please, can you look at this file rather than anything else? And I think that can really help direct people to give more feedback rather than just letting them intensely read the first two files and then start just going, yeah, that whole file looks fine. Judith, welcome back.
Hi. So I would like to share a tip of how I use AI. So there is a lot of repeated repetitive tasks that we do, like, let's say, write test cases or some certain piece of code, like a function around something. And there is our, like, our style, the way we like to our code to be look. And I, for a while, I felt like I'm giving the AI the same instructions over and it's becoming exhausting. So the way I found it is to, after I'm doing like a long session with it and he already know what I, he, she already know how I like it and what I like to be done, I'm asking from the AI, tell me what is my style of coding or writing or whatever, and he's writing it down. After this is written down, I'm reading it, I'm reviewing it, whether he understood correctly what I want and how I want it. And then I'm telling him, let's call it an abbreviation, and I give him the name, like task writing style. And wow. Then when I log in another day, I'm telling him, this is the test case. Write it for me as a testing writing style. And he knows exactly what I mean. And it's much faster. So that's my tip.
That is so cool. That would be like a really fun thing to try.
Thank you.
That's cool. And if you don't mind sharing, Judith, which AI are you using to keep this context? I know it's an interesting thing because depending on which tool you're using, some of them remember things from your previous conversations and some of them don't.
So I'm using ChatGPT mostly. I'm using different tools, but the abbreviation part work very well with the ChatGPT.
Nice. Okay, that's cool. I will save that one, like noted. I'll have a go with that one later. The other one that I've seen before as
back
well.
Next week, let's see if it works for you.
Absolutely. The other one I've heard that was a tip was sometimes if you are struggling to figure out the right way to ask ChatGPT the question, you can basically tell ChatGPT what it is that's not quite going the way you want and ask it to help you write a better question, then ask the question. Which feels a bit extra, but it apparently does actually work quite well.
I have more, but let's give some other people to talk.
Absolutely. So a little bit of a time check. We've got about 10 minutes left. So if anyone else wants to come up on stage and have a chat, there's good time left probably for at least one more person to join us on stage. Otherwise, maybe we can talk a little bit more, Judy, about, and you feel free to join in, one of the other things you mentioned, which is about like how to start quality conversations. I think that was a good topic. And we maybe didn't exhaust that one.
Yeah, it helps to have a ritual around it. So like on Thursday morning, I think I've mentioned it before, but on Thursday morning, I have a calendar event where I actively seek out a good QA article that I can share with my engineering team. And then at the same time, I want to boost that person as well. So I'll share it on LinkedIn and I spread it around as much as I can. But within my organization, like I'll put it, we have a dev learnings channel. And sometimes they get comments, sometimes they don't. It's unexpected. It's like something, I don't know. I don't typically think about what kind of response I'll get, but it is interesting sometimes the things that I post and then people start chatting about it. And so I do that. And then I do my edit. And then we talk about snacks in my daily stand-up, and that's helpful. But yeah, I would love to know what other people do.
I've got a few things if nobody else is sticking their hand up, or if you do throw some things in the chat, we can maybe read them out as well.
Yeah.
So it reminds me, one of the things I've done in the past that I need to find the right way to introduce, now that I've moved where I'm working, is running sessions where I did what I call a watch party. So effectively finding a video, like a talk, a presentation, a workshop, whatever it is, that's about a particular testing, quality, engineering topic, and inviting people to watch it with me. So I actually just used the sharing a Chrome tab option on Google Meet, and that does tend to work. So that, and yes, I mean, quite a lot of the times they are talks from Ministry of Testing. So it's one of the ways I make use of my pro membership. I don't give people access to my pro membership, but I do sometimes share in a watch party the talk, in the same way as if I was in an office, I could stick it up in a meeting room and invite people around. But now we're remote, I do it via Google Meet. And then invite people to take notes. So we watch it together, and then we have some time afterwards to review our notes and have a chat. Is this something we want to do? Do we agree with the person? Do they open up questions? How relevant is this to us? Do we have any actions we want to take? So we want to go do the same thing. So it's yes, we watch the thing together, but then we also try and make it super relevant to, like, the bits that we want, the bits that we like, the bits we agree with. How can we immediately put it into action? So that's that. Those are pretty powerful.
That actually reminds me, because we have once a month brunch and learn at my work. And I have in the past shared different videos at our brunch and learn. But that's a good reminder for me, because I've stopped doing that. So, yeah, I need to start submitting those again for the brunch and learn. So that's good, too.
Okay, a little bit of a time check. We've got about 5 minutes left. So is there anything more you want to add to the conversation while you're on the stage?
Well,
but I'm putting you on the spot there. Perhaps, or is there anything else you're up to? You shared a blog post earlier. Is there anywhere people can find you on the internet? Any of the things that you do that you want to promote, your opportunity to, while you're here, to mention more about yourself to the world?
You strike a nerve there, because I wrote in my LinkedIn a few posts about using the AI tools, both for automation and like general tips that I use. Some of the things that they just spoke before is there, so it's a good option to read some of them if you are interested in it. I can give a link in the chat for that post.
Yes, that please. Great. Yeah, that gives me something to read this afternoon for sure. Love it. Well, thank you very much for coming on stage, Judith, and sharing those things. And yeah, go follow Judith on LinkedIn and read some of those posts. Those sound pretty useful. We have, let me just read a couple of things from the chat to finish us off here. So there's a couple of things about ChatGPT here. Gary Hawks says, I want to ask ChatGPT to give me 5 interview screening questions that would be difficult for candidates to answer using AI, with a lot more context, obviously. I love that. Simon says, I had an incredible experience with Gemini this week in deep research mode to explore how to learn about learning for a person in year 8 in the UK, aged 11 to 12, my daughter. It allowed me to create an audio conversation summary and an infographic plus detailed report. All outcomes were super. Oh, that's cool. I'm going to try that. Gemini, you say. Okay. I'm going to give that a go. Deep research mode. Love it. I haven't tried that yet. Let's give it a go. Cool. Right, so as we come up near the end of the hour, I am going to say thank you very much for everyone who joined us on stage today. And thank you very much to Judy for co-hosting with me. A final reminder that Leading with Quality, the one-day pre-test bash conference in Brighton, is selling out fast. So if you want to come along, make sure to get your ticket in soon. And there's still time to get your tickets for Test Bash. So if you want to see us in Brighton in just under a month's time, then get on with that. Go grab some training budget from your managers. Go and see what opportunities you have. Go and figure it out. And thank you very much for the audience for your participation. And if you have been listening, thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Any more goodbyes from you, Judy, from you, Judith?
Oh, just, yeah, they have been lovely. Thank you, Judith, for coming to the stage, and Natalia.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Have a lovely week.
Enjoy your week and keep testing. Catch you later.
Thanks, everyone.